Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Cold Hard Truth podcast. I'm Jack Smith.
I'm Shrikar Rajendran.
I'm Anish Gupta.
I'm Jared Arivian.
Yeah, you want to tell them a little bit about your page there, Jared?
Yeah, how's it going, guys? My name is Jared Arivian. I run Bengals.central on Instagram. Been at it for about 3 years and love the team, been covering it, so yeah.
Yeah, so the Bengals, one of the most active teams this offseason, which is smart since they hold the number one overall pick. Jared, do you want to start us off quickly with your opinions about the offseason?
Yeah, for sure, for sure. So this offseason, I mean, the Bengals in years prior really haven't gone out and done anything crazy in free agency in any years I can remember. But this year it seemed to change. They really revamped the entire defense. Cutting a lot of guys who were starters or not even re-signing them, like Darquez Dennard, he didn't come back, but a lot of guys. And they've really got guys who can tackle. Tackling's been a huge issue on that part of the football. Stopping the run, one of the worst teams in the league, if not the worst. But they got guys in the middle like DJ Reader, Josh Bynes, who are going to be huge pieces on that end. They got guys like Von Bell, who isn't great in coverage, but the dude can tackle. The dude's going to be playing really close to the line of scrimmage. He's going to be that third safety. The Bengals are going to have a really good three safety look this year on defense. And so in free agency, I love what they did on the defensive side of the ball. Super excited about that. And then in the draft, they just followed it up with two great linebacker picks. Logan Wilson, who, to be honest, wasn't really on my board that much. That high, but I was super psyched when we picked him up in the third round. He's in do it all backer. He can cover, he can tackle, he can do whatever you need. And then one of my favorite prospects, Akeem Davis, gave here. Dude's a beast. He's going to be, if he can stay healthy next year, which I hope he can throughout his career, I'm excited for him. So I'm pumped what they did on the defensive side of the ball. I would have liked to see him go get another lineman. But that DJ Reader signing, man, that's huge. And then Trey Wins, Mackenzie Alexander, all guys who are going to be tackling, stopping the run. So I'm excited.
Mm-hmm. Jared, I got a couple questions for you. So obviously kind of established it earlier, a huge Browns fan, you're a Bengals fan, you know, two teams at Ohio. But when I looked at their free agency, like I kind of liked what they did. There was one questionable thing I had was, you know, why did they give Trey Wayne's the longer extension than Mackenzie Alexander, who I believe is a better corner and played better? I thought the deal should have been switched. I thought Alexander should have gotten more job security there. But that's just me. So I think let's go to the big kind of questions, get those out of the way. So, I mean, everyone was talking, right? Like Joe Burrow is basically guaranteed number one, right? It went longer than expected on their pick, but they eventually went with Joe Burrow, quarterback out of Athens. And I mean, kind of a hometown kid, but, you know, there were rumors again that he might pull an Eli Manning. I think those were kind of just smoke. I don't think he was actually going to do that. But kind of looking at the receiver core and Joe Burrow, what were your thoughts in moving on from Andy Dalton, a guy who I thought was, you know, pretty good throughout his career in Cincinnati? He had one MVP type year in 2015. He's been well removed from that. But what are your thoughts on, first off, the Joe Burrow selection? And what are your thoughts on this whole receiving core? Do you think it'll work out with them, with A.J. Green, Tyler Boyd, now a new pick, T. Higgins, right? John Ross is still there, a first-round pick. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, for sure. Just to touch on Andy to start, I love Andy Dalton. He's an unbelievable guy, unbelievable locker room guy off the field. He did so much for the city of Cincinnati, whether it was donating the charities or just being, like, that guy. And I don't know if you remember after that Bills game when he the Ravens game when he sent the Bills to the playoffs for like one of the first times in a minute for them. He raised so much money. He's a good Christian. He's just a great guy. Can't say nothing about him, but as much as he was a good guy, he just wasn't winning football games. And I think at some point when you have a starter for that long, you got to move on from him. And I mean, especially when you have this situation with Joe Burrow, it's a dream scenario for the Bengals. They've waited out on quarterback for a while. They could have gone quarterback last year with Dwayne Haskins. He was on the board there. Passed on him, took Jonah Williams. But this couldn't have gotten any better. I mean, Joe Burrow, you said it. He's from Athens, Ohio. That's the Bengals practice facility and stadium is about 2 hours from his house. So I think it's a perfect scenario there. And I mean, the dude's a baller. No matter what you say, he's a baller. And I love the mindset he has. Something that comes to mind when I think of Joe Burrow is that game against UCF, my bad. When he gets knocked down, hit in the mouth, he's down. People are thinking, is he even going to come back this game? He comes back and he throws 3 or 4 touchdown passes that game and wins them a bowl game. That really catapulted LSU that season. And I think he's a perfect guy you can build around. He's a perfect guy. He's not going to listen to anything the media says. And that's the one thing, too. The Bengals have been getting crucified this year when it comes to the media. Everyone's hating on him for that stuff. But that's a whole nother topic. But Joe Burrow, dream scenario for the Bengals. Couldn't be any happier. And, man, this receiving core. If A.J. Green and John Ross can stay healthy this year, I mean – people are saying this is a bad scenario for Joe Burrow, but I'm kind of confused how that is when you have T. Higgins
as
the fifth receiver on your depth chart. Like, you have a guy, A.J. Green, who's arguably this might be my opinion. I might be a little biased, but he's a top five receiver of this past decade. And I mean, if he's had injuries these past few seasons, but – we all know what he's capable of doing if he can stay healthy and he can be on that field. And I think that's a game changer. And then you have a guy in John Ross who everyone's calling him a bust, but you can – like, I agree. He hasn't really proven himself. He's been hurt a lot. He didn't even play half the season last year, and that was the longest he's played in his entire career. He's missed more games than he's played in his NFL career. But he's going to be used as a Swiss Army knife of this offense next year. He is – a do-it-all guy. He was running jets. That's opening
game. Those first three games, yeah. I think he was averaging 100 yards a game. Like, he was
he's just a perfect do-it-all guy. He's gonna take the safety over the top. He's definitely gonna draw the attention from a defense. And then you got Tyler Boyd in the slot, a guy who's bad back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons. He's probably one of the most slept-on slot receivers in the league. And then bringing T. Higgins into there, you have Auden Tate. A lot of common NFL fans don't know Auden Tate. He was a 7th-round pick a few years ago. He battled for that 6th receiving spot a couple years ago, and he's really earned a spot on this team. He saw a lot of time last year, and he really proved himself he really solidified a spot on this roster as a receiver, and he's been very, very good addition. And then adding T. Higgins, which is a lot of people are calling that you have the Carson Palmer, Chad Ochocinco connection. You have the Andy Dalton, A.J. Green connection. Everyone's saying this is the new connection of Joe Burrow to T. Higgins. So I love the pick, and yeah.
Yeah, I remember seeing Auden Tate absolutely dominate my Jets. So they've got a lot of talent there in the wide receiver room. But also, we've mentioned it on episodes before, people complain that Joe Burrow is going to be wasted in Cincinnati, but I don't think that's the case. I mean, they don't have a terrible offensive line. They've got Jonah Williams returning this year with a good running game with Joe Mixon and a great receiving room. I mean, I don't think that there's any better scenario in that kind of top draft. I mean, the picks there for Joe Burrow to go. So I wouldn't complain if I were Joe Burrow. I'd actually be pretty happy going to such a talented offense in Cincinnati.
Yeah, for sure. And I think definitely a lot of people have forgot about Jonah Williams, who was hurt last year. But I think he's going to change this entire offensive line. And I think without two, you got guys even like Billy Price, who was a first-round pick. He's still hungry. He still wants that spot. This is really his last chance to prove to the Bengals that he was worth that first-round pick they spent on him. So I think you're going to have a lot of guys. And Trey Hopkins, too, a lot of people sleep on him. He's a center. He just got a nice deal, too, for the next – 2 to 3 years. So he's a very solid piece too. So it's all about staying healthy for this offensive line. But I think the line, especially what Mixon has done behind some really below average lines these past few years, I think that's going to be huge for the team.
So Sean Williams led the Bengals with 114 tackles last season, but I mean, less than a year later, he could easily be off the team. I think Von Bell, he's going to be the guy who's going to take over for Williams at strong safety. But, you know, Williams has experience playing like sub-package linebacker. I mean, a full-time transition doesn't appear likely since, you know, the Bengals front office already signed Josh Bynes and drafted Logan Wilson, Akeem Davis Gaither, Marcus Bailey. So, you know, Williams is a veteran leader. He's a reliable defender. But, you know, the Bengals added talent to every level, and they can save over $4 million, I'm pretty sure, by releasing Sean Williams. So if you were the Bengals, what would you do in this scenario? Would you cut him or would you keep him?
I am 100% keeping Sean Williams. And I think, honestly, even with the addition of Von Bell, I still think Sean Williams is going to be starting. The Bengals ran a lot in the nickel. They were a big 4-3, but they also ran a ton in the nickel. So I think why I really liked getting those two linebackers in the third and fourth round this year was because now that allows the Bengals to have two pairs of linebackers. So you can pair up. It doesn't even matter what the pairs are right now because you have Jermaine Pratt and you can pair him up with one of the rookies. You can pair up Josh Bynes with one of the rookies. You can roll two groups out there, so you're staying fresh. That was a huge issue for the Bengals last year. They had one, the talent wasn't there at the linebacker room, and two, they would be playing two guys the same the whole game.
Lack of depth,
exactly.
Yep.
And I think Von Bell is going to be playing a very similar position to a linebacker. Like, if you look at Von Bell, Von Bell's rookie season was crazy. He played he did like half his snaps at safety. He had some at corner, he had some at linebacker, and then he had some in this position that, like, it's not even a position. He's playing really close to the line, up there, just getting in the backfield, stopping the run. Von Bell is not that great when it comes to pass coverage, but Sean Williams is good. He's good as a ball hawk. So I think all three of those safeties are going to be on the field next year, minus the 4-3 when they might have to come in there, stop the run, throw on another heavy linebacker. But I really expect Sean Williams to stay on this team. He's going to be a starter. He's going to be a huge player on this defense. And I definitely think that that the safety tandem of Von Bell, Sean Williams, and Jesse Bates is going to be really, really fun to watch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, kind of like, I mean, I still remember in 2017, the wild card game, Saints Panthers came down to a 4th-and-10, I think, or just a 4th down, and he was the guy that just came in, shot through the A gap, and just sacked Cam Newton. So, I mean, we've seen what he can do in terms of in the box and just how he plays. Kind of another big name question, just with, you know, with the Bengals offseason, right? We're kind of addressing these big kind of topics, right? We went through Joe Burrow, kind of talked about the receiving core. I kind of wanted to touch on the coach, Zach Taylor. So he comes in, right? He's a year removed now from being a head coach. You know, goes 2-14. And I mean, people expected the Bengals to not do well last year. They were kind of one of those teams that people thought were vying for the, a top two pick. And obviously they kind of locked it up, the number one pick, I believe, in week 15. So what are, like, where now this team kind of has an identity. Like, I really like the move that they made. I think they're going in the right direction in terms of this rebuild that they've started. They're definitely going younger. And they've created a hybrid complexity of guys that are old and young. But the thing is, in my opinion, I don't like Zach Taylor. I don't think he's the guy. I just don't see him being a guy that can gel this team together. I mean, he's learned under Marvin Lewis for a while. Marvin, this dude, 0-7 in the playoffs. Like I just don't see. And he gave, like, you know, perfect countless opportunities. I just didn't like that. I still remember the wild card game against Pittsburgh. I hate Pittsburgh as much as you do, dude. I despise them, bro. So I was rooting for the Bengals that game. I still remember it. It came down to, I think, that dirty hit by, I think it was either Pac-Man or Perfect, but I think Pittsburgh somehow won that game. I think McCarron was playing it. He played pretty well. But, like, you know, I think the coaching situation there has just been a big issue. So what do you see for this team in terms of head coach? Do you think Zach Taylor should get another year, see where this team goes this year, and if he doesn't do well, get the boot? Or what do you kind of think of the Zach Taylor situation?
I love Zach. I remember when the Bengals were looking for a new head coach, it was down between Zach Taylor and Eric Bieniemy, the Chiefs offensive coordinator right now. And I wanted Eric Bieniemy, but I mean, I think what the Bengals saw in Zach Taylor and what really I'm starting to realize is the guy's really about culture. He really is about creating like a Bill Belichick type culture inside the team before he starts even worrying about winning. He wants to make sure that that the guys are together and everyone's playing as a team, because that's where it all starts. And I mean, last year you can look at the record and say that's on Zach. But me being a Bengals fan, it was very obvious that the Bengals were trying to lose games last year. Andy Dalton was benched a couple times for Ryan Finley. And I mean, there were games that the Bengals easily could have won that they chose not to win. I mean, a lot of people don't realize this, but the Bengals were eight out of the 16 games the Bengals played in last year were one possession games. And a lot of people don't understand that. So I think people, even if the Bengals don't have a great year next year, I still think it's insane for anyone to say give Zach Taylor the boot, just because you have a guy who's working with a rookie quarterback. You never know how that's going to turn out. You have a guy working with a completely new defense. You have a guy who is still trying to find his way, still in a new city. So I really think that I like Zach, and I'm really excited for what he's going to do with this offense. And now that he has the defensive guys, I mean, I'm just excited. And especially what he did in free agency. I mean, some of that was the front office and Mike Brown, but a lot of that was Zach Taylor, and Zach Taylor going out and getting guys who are not only very good players, but also guys who are very good people. And that's really what I'm excited about, him changing the culture here.
Yeah. Before we kind of stop talking about the offseason, I wanted to wheel back around to Joe Burrow. I know Anish likes to bring this up with Baker Mayfield, is that he had a sophomore slump this year because it's really the first time that people have expected him to do great things. And I wonder, Jared, do you think that the same thing could happen to Joe Burrow this year? I mean, all throughout college, the expectations were never too high for Joe Burrow. And now he's coming in as the number one overall pick going into the NFL. A lot of people think he's going to be rookie of the year. Do you think that's going to affect him at all?
I mean, first off, like, let's be honest, Joe Burrow's not going to come out here and put up the same numbers he put up in college. That's just, like, ridiculous for anyone to think. But I think Joe Burrow is a guy who lives off of all the haters. I mean, the guy was a transfer at the beginning of last year, and no one really knew his name. No one knew Joe Burrow. And now Joe Burrow is fed off of the hate his entire career. And whether that's hate or people giving him higher expectations, I mean, I think he loves that. And I think that's what fuels him, and that's what makes him better. That's what makes Joe Burrow Joe Burrow. And but with that being said, I mean, the NFL is a completely different game than college. And the pace of the game is just completely different, and that's obviously going to take time. And I mean, there's a reason the Bengals had the first pick last year. There was a lot of holes on this team, whether that's the offensive line, whether that's some pieces on defense. So I mean, I believe Joe Burrow is gonna be fantastic next year. But I mean, it's just about, you have to keep that perspective. I mean, he's a rookie quarterback coming into a situation in Cincinnati that might not be the best. It's not an awful situation by any means. But I mean, still, you just have to keep that perspective that he's a rookie coming into he's a guy who started 1 year in college, and he's going to be starting in the NFL next year. So
I feel like what the Bengals lack, though, is that kind of reliable pass catching tight end for Burrow to utilize, you know, because a quality tight end that can work wonders for, you know, Joe Burrow, who's still an inexperienced signal caller. And yet the Bengals are sitting on their hands with, you know, a serviceable tight end in CJ Uzomah. You got a second round disappointment, in my opinion, in Drew Sample after Tyler Eifert left for Jacksonville in free agency. You know, the Bengals did add Mitchell Wilcox, undrafted free agent from South Florida. But I mean, in my opinion, I think like a veteran like Delanie Walker or maybe a Charles Clay could help Cincinnati set Burrow up for more success. So in your opinion, what do you think is the biggest need remaining on this roster, like tight end or just another position? What do you think is the biggest need remaining?
Biggest need right now I go is interior offensive line. I mean, it's really hard to say because for me, I'm a big guy right now where it's load up on that defense and trust Joe Burrow, because I think Joe Burrow is going to be doing a lot of extending plays that Andy never could really do. So I think Joe Burrow, in a sense, is going to help out that offensive line a ton. And I also think the addition of Jonah, if he can stay healthy, is going to help out that offensive line. But I know a lot of people think tight end is a big need, but especially with this depth in the receiving core, I think the Bengals are really going to split it out wide this year. I think a lot of people think you have a rookie quarterback, run the ball a lot, really run the ball. I don't think that's going to be the case. I mean, if you just look at this receiving room, like how can you run the ball with these wide receivers? So I think we're going to be seeing a lot of four receiver sets. I don't know if the tight end is even going to be utilized that much in the offense this year, if it's not for blocking. And what Drew Sample does is block. Drew Sample isn't a guy, isn't a Rob Gronkowski guy. He's a guy who's going to kick out the DN, go out, get the outside linebacker. He's not a guy who's going to catch 10 touchdowns a year, and that's just what it is. But I was never a fan of that pick either, but I think Drew Sample utilized in the right way can be good. And then CJ Uzomah too, he's a guy who can surprise some people too, be a good red zone threat. But I think the Bengals are really going to spread it out, and I'd say interior offensive lineman, and a guy I really want them to go after is Larry Warford, guard from the Saints. That would be a perfect addition for us.
Yeah, we've seen the importance of an offensive line on young quarterbacks. You just look back to a class a couple of years ago. The quarterbacks that had offensive lines like Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson have been thriving in the NFL, whereas Josh Rose
Bill's offensive line has not been that good. But, okay, we'll save that for another time.
And then, but then you look at Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, and Josh Rosen, who all had to start their careers with little to nothing on the offensive line, and they've been struggling as of recently. So you'd like to see that Joe Burrow get help on the offensive line so he doesn't turn in to one of those guys in his first couple years, because he could be an MVP candidate in a couple years if given help and protection on the offensive line.
Yeah, just a quick tangent off that, though. I think just one last thing on Joe Burrow. I think it's when you look at his team, right? I think LSU had tied with Ohio State for the most picks, most guys drafted in the 2020 draft. So we all have to acknowledge this dude had a great roster around him, right? And I haven't seen as much hate on him as I've seen on, you know, prospects coming out like Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray. Of recent past, but one guy I have noted on is Colin Coward, who said his hand size is small. That was just like, okay, like you're gonna base it off hand size, like, okay, fine. The only thing I can see that, you know, would be skeptical on Joe Burrow is just, you know, 1 year of success. I think, you know, Dwayne Haskins, right, the kind of guy I allude to, he's still learning the game, and I think he still is now. He's only had 1 year of full-time experience. Same with Joe Burrow. He had 1.5 years going back to his time at LSU. I think I'm anxious to see what he can do in that system. I think it's really, like, there's a wide spectrum of what he can do. Like, there's a lot of uncertainty. And I think you brought up some points that I was thinking the exact same way you were. I think interior offensive line is the way to go, at least for me. Offensive, like Treguard and Jack know this. I think I've said this on every episode we've ever recorded. I am a huge fan of offensive line, just the way they affect the game. I think it goes coach, quarterback, offensive line. And I think those are the three things that we've addressed here. And I think with teams like the Bengals, who lack consistency on all three positions, right? Same with my Browns, same with, you know, a lot of these bad franchises that just have lacked consistency on those three parts. And you see it with the good ones, right? You know, Patriots, Steelers, list goes on and on. I think with the Bengals in general, I think now we can kind of start looking forward. I think the sky's the limit for Joe Burrow. And Jack, if you want to kind of switch us over to the future, let's see what the Bengals can do next year.
Yeah, I think that this would be kind of a good time to start our award segment. Recently, we've been going over offensive and defensive rookie of the year, offensive player and defensive player of the year, and a breakout / comeback player of the year, all just for the Bengals. So Jared, if you want to get us started, give us your offensive and defensive rookie of the year predictions for the Bengals. That'd be great.
So my offensive rookie of the year, I think it's pretty straightforward, Joe Burrow. just because, I mean, he's going to be the guy this year. I think really Bengals have said it's your team. Here's the reins. Go ahead and do what you can do. Show us what you got. So I think he's probably the lock for offensive rookie of the year as expected. And then a lot of people for defensive rookie of the year would probably lean towards Logan Wilson, but I'm going to go Akeem Davis. The dude is a playmaker. He flies around the field. And I think he would have been a second round pick easily if he hadn't hurt his foot.
Sugar.
Offensive player of the year. It's a little bit of a wild card. I'm going to go T. Higgins. I feel like he's going to be thriving from all the receivers around him. It's just a little bit of a wild card because we haven't seen him play yet. But, I mean, I think he's going to thrive there in that system with Burrow. My defensive player of the year, I'll go DJ Reader. I think you're getting a guy, you're getting a nose tackle in his prime. He was the headliner of that class, and I think that's gonna, he's gonna be one of the best interior defenders in the league, in my opinion. So, I mean, I think that's my pick for offensive and defensive player of the year. Offensive rookie of the year, T. Higgins, not playing Joe Burrow. I think it's good. It's a lock. I think he can win offensive rookie of the year too. Now defensive rookie of the year. I'm going to go with Logan Wilson. I think there may be a little bit of maybe kind of sort of like a learning curve, but I mean, I think it should be an easier transition than, of course, Burrow coming in. Logan Wilson, he's going to step in as the leader of that defense, probably like the quarterback of the defense. He's going to get tackle after tackle. Of course, he is a converted safety. And I think he has an outstanding skill set for, you know, the modern, like today's game. So those are my picks. And then for breakout player of the year, I'm going to go with Jonah Williams, because he was widely regarded as the most pro ready tackle in that class of 2019. Technique, footwork, fundamentals, I think they were the best of last year's bunch. So given that, I mean, there's no reason to think he won't perform at a high level, maybe a little worse pending that injury. And I feel like, yeah, of course, there's no reason to think he won't perform at a high level, and I think that should help Burrow do the same.
Anish?
Actually, Jared, if you want to give the rest of your picks, kind of like comeback player and offensive player and defensive player.
Yeah,
for I'll sure. Right so, my comeback player of the year is probably AJ, too. I think AJ, this is going to be a huge year for him, especially if he can stay healthy. He hasn't really played in 2 years, so – I'm really excited to see AJ not only play, but play with a quarterback not named Andy Dalton. I think AJ Green really bailed out Andy Dalton in the past, and I'm just excited to see him play with a quarterback like that. And then breakout player of the year, this was really hard for me. I really wanted to say Joe Mixon for breakout player of the year, but this might surprise some people, but I'm going to say Geno Atkins. Geno Atkins, his production has really dropped off since these past couple of years. But I think now that you add a guy next to him like DJ Reader, that's going to change everything. I think Geno is going to have one of his best seasons of his career this year, just because he's playing next to the best interior defensive lineman he's played with his entire professional career. So I think Geno is going to break out this year. Then offensive player of the year, I'm going Joe Mixon. I think every single year, regardless of the offensive line, the dude's improved. He's becoming an all-purpose back, every down back. He can do it all. And I think now with Jonah coming back and now with a legitimate passing threat and with this entire receiving core, I think Mixon's going to break out and be that offensive player of the year for the Bengals this year. Then on defense, I think this is a year we really, really see William Jackson make a name for himself. William Jackson, in my opinion, has been very disrespected and is someone a lot of people don't even know about. But I think the dude is a top 15 corner in the league, and I think he's going to show that this year and be the defensive player of the year.
So I actually really liked your picks. After all these teams, I think this one has the most options you can go with.
Mm-hmm.
So for offensive player of the year, I'm going to go with AJ Green. And I've always been a huge, huge fan of AJ Green. I still remember I watched his 30 for 30, the loss of his brother, man. I just saw that. I mean, I don't know if you guys know that story, but it was tremendously sad on what he's been able to do. He's just a great guy on and off the field. I think people take that fight with Jalen Ramsey, they just take it out of context. I think what Jalen Ramsey said to him, I mean, anyone would kind of react like that. He's a really good dude. And keep in mind, I believe 2 years ago when he was healthy, the Bengals were 4-1. They were riding pretty high. And I still remember that Falcons game where he catches it in the corner of the end zone. I don't know if you remember that, but like that catch was sick, man. And they came back, won it at the end. So, you know, I just remember these moments in my head with every team. And I think that one is, that you know, sticks with me when I look at the Bengals. So I think I got AJ Green as my offensive player of the year. Defensive player of the year is really tough for me. There's so many guys, but I think just to spice it up a bit, I'm going to go with Carlos Dunlap. Again, kind of what you brought up with the defensive line, right? There's just so many guys there, and I think he's going to take the most advantage of it. You could say DJ Reader, you could say Geno Atkins. I'm going to go with Dunlap here on the left side. I just think he's going to take most advantage. He's just a sack guy. He just gets in there, especially during passing downs. So I got Carlos Dunlap there. Offensive rookie of the year, I'm going to go with the quarterback, Joe Burrow, no question. I think I was kind of confused with Shrikar. He said T. Higgins, offensive player of the year, and then Joe Burrow, rookie of the year. That kind of confused me, but I got Joe Burrow as my offensive rookie of the year. I just don't think T. Higgins can make that much of an immediate impact yet.
No. I just thought T. Higgins could be a wild card. So that's kind of why I threw his name in there.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I think, I mean, after what he did to Ohio State, the ball should have been a fumble, but, you know, whatever. It's kind of my bias against him. I just don't like T. Higgins. But I think I got Joe Burrow as my offensive rookie of the year. Defensive rookie of the year, I'm going to go with Logan Wilson as well. I just think Wyoming is an underrated school that people don't pay attention to as much. It's produced guys like Josh Allen. They've had some successful players in the NFL, and I think he can easily be one of them. Kind of Shrikar was alluding to the quarterback of the defense. So I think he can easily make a name for himself through that. And then my breakout player of the year, that one's really tough. I'm going to go with Mackenzie Alexander. I think him coming in, I mean, I know he's not been on the team yet, but I think his impact will be immense because, again, I don't know, I'm still really – that's probably my one bad thing about the Bengals offseason. It's just I thought Mackenzie should have gotten the job security than Trey Wayne. I like Alexander a lot more than Trey Wayne's, and I just think him alongside William Jackson, like you mentioned, I just think Mackenzie Alexander can do a lot better. So, yeah, that's my list. Jack?
Yeah, so pretty much you guys kind of hit the nail on the head. I always go last on these, and y'all steal my points I was trying to make. But Joe Burrow is the obvious pick for Offensive Rookie of the Year. I mean, he's probably the front runner for the entire league's Offensive Rookie of the Year, so can't really go anywhere else. Defensive is where it gets interesting. It's really between Logan Wilson and Akeem Davis-Gaither, but I'm going to go Logan Wilson. I don't know a ton about either of the two, but I've seen Logan Wilson play a little bit, and I think his versatility will help this defense. And linebacker is a position they really need. I think he'll be able to rack up tackles on that defense, something that they've been missing from the linebacker position. Moving to offensive player of the year, I'm going to go Joe Mixon too, because I think that I'm a big fan of his game. He's improved, like you said, Jared, every year of his NFL career. And I think this is the year, hopefully he doesn't get injured, and he'll prove that he's a top 10, maybe even top 5 back in the game, especially now with a quarterback will take some of the eyes off of him. Defensively, I'm going to go Jesse Bates, actually, kind of away from what you guys said. I think that he can prove to be one of the top safeties in the league. And I think this is his third year. Correct me if I'm wrong on that. But I think that he'll be able to show out this year with help at the cornerback position. Now, obviously, he plays safety, but now that he has help in the secondary, he should be able to prove himself, and he won't have to cover so much ground. Breakout player of the year, I wanted to go Sam Hubbard because I'm a big fan of his game, but I'm not exactly sure if he's going to get a ton of opportunity on that kind of stacked D line now. So I'm going to go with AJ Green, the obvious choice, coming back from injury. I just want to see him play 16 games on the field with Joe Burrow. Yeah. To finally prove, you know, that he is as talented as he is, because we haven't been able to see that from him in a while. To start us on record predictions, Jared, you want to give us a floor and a ceiling and then a realistic pick for the Bengals this year?
Yeah, for sure. So I think the floor right now, I have them 4-12 as the floor. And right now the ceiling I have as 10-6. So that is – but when I say I really don't think that the ceiling is going to happen. That's just what I think, that it's definitely a possibility. But I think that it's really a lot of Bengals fans, especially some people I'm really close to in the Bengals community, have the Bengals. They're really hyped up about all the additions, the quarterback additions. But I really think that you have to stay realistic in all this. And you have to realize that you're playing in one of the hardest divisions in football. And not only that, but you have the Ravens, who are Super Bowl favorites. You have the Browns, who just went out and upgraded their offensive line. I mean, there's zero excuses for Baker Mayfield now. But the Browns are a very, very, very good football team. top to bottom. And then the Steelers, I mean, the Steelers have always given us troubles regardless of how good they are or not. So I think you look in the division, it's going to be hard. I'm hopeful that we will be able to go 3-3 in that division. But even when you're looking at games outside of the division, we have games against the Colts who have a new quarterback in Phillip Rivers, and that's really what the Colts have been missing. So the Colts are going to be a tough game. We have the Chargers who have had one of the best free agencies, in my opinion. And who had a great draft too. So I definitely think it's going to be hard, especially with a rookie quarterback and all this, the COVID stuff like that, and how it's preventing Joe Burrow from really starting his rookie training camp and building chemistry with the guys. So in year one with Joe Burrow, my expectations aren't that high. I have their ceiling as 4-12, as I said earlier. I mean, their floor is 4-12, as I said earlier, and their ceiling as ceiling at 10-6. But my realistic prediction right now is 7-9 for them on the season. Honestly, I'd be happy with that. I mean, that's a huge improvement from last year. And I just, for this year, I just really want to see the guys really coming together, the chemistry being there, and really start to see them play as a team, and just Joe Burrow get used to the NFL stage. And I'd be happy with a 7-9 season.
Mm-hmm. Anish? I guess you go.
Let's Shrikar go.
Okay, cool.
All right, cool. I mean, you can't blame Bengals fans for being stoked about the arrival of Burrow, you know, after that huge campaign at LSU. Bengals started last season at 0-11, and they finished season with only 2 wins. They haven't won a playoff game since George Bush Sr. was president. And kind of looking at their schedule, beginning with a season opener in Cincinnati against the LA Chargers, the Bengals should have an opportunity to improve on last year's disastrous season. Only 5 teams have an easier strength of schedule than the 4.77 winning percentage Cincinnati's opponents had last season. However, I mean, the Bengals still have issues on both sides of the ball and have 5 games against teams that made the postseason in 2019. I mean, it's baby steps. I still think this team may be 1 or 2 years away. I'm probably going to go with 5-11.
Wow. So another team in the AFC North. I think Jared, man, you just hit stuff on the nose. Like, I agree with what everything you've been saying about this team. I've had similar opinions on the Bengals throughout this whole discussion that we've had. I think it's really tough when you look at what they've been doing. I think with Joe Burrow, there's a lot of questions. I'm really uncertain about how he's going to do in the NFL because, again, he had a really good roster. While he did play some really good level of competition, which is what I look into, you know, again, the roster kind of just – it just throws me into a factor. And also, he's only played 1 year. While it is arguably the best college football season of all time for a quarterback, it's just the 1 year thing is a bit concerning for me. But when I look at their schedule, the AFC North has a decently easy schedule. But again, it's the AFC North. That's always a tough division. Obviously, you and I kind of know it the best, just how bad, you know, things can get. And, you know, when I look at these other teams, right, you kind of brought up the Ravens. I just think now that the Browns are out of the spotlight. It's just there's so much less pressure on them. And, right, this is now their time to step it up. There's teams that, like, have less pressure on them now, and there are teams that have more pressure on them. For example, the Niners and the Ravens, I think, are 2 teams that are getting immensely looked at in the next year, have a lot of primetime games, and now you'll start to see their faults. So, for example, with the Ravens, like, I picked the Titans over them. I still remember the playoff game because – the 3 weeks of rest that Lamar Jackson had, I just thought, like, same thing with when Aaron Rodgers choked a game when they were 15-1. It's just rest for a while. And you started to see the weaknesses of that team in terms of the running game, and they exposed them. So, like, for example, the Ravens could easily get exposed. And, I mean, I'm praying for this, but hopefully with the Bengals can upset the Ravens and the Steelers, maybe won't get a game in there. But I just think with the Bengals, I think they'll do really well against, out-of-conference teams and decently against AFC teams. I just think the division will be too much for them to handle right now just because teams have had exposure with Zach Taylor, and I think they'll just teams in the division will just do better. I can see the Bengals going maybe 2-4 in the division, maybe even 1-5. I think that's going to be their demise. So I think their floor would be, like you kind of said, 4-12, maybe 5-11. I think their ceiling is – I'm going to cap it a bit lower. I'm going to say 8-8. And in reality, I'm really tempted to go 6-10, 7-9. Kind of hovering around there, but I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. I'll go 7-9 for the Bengals.
Yeah, the thing I've mentioned about the Bengals in previous episodes is that the division is maybe the toughest in football. I'd say second toughest, probably, right now. But this team is prepped for the future. And I think that you'll see the Steelers maybe take a step back in a couple of years. And so maybe the Bengals can make a push then, but I don't think it's going to be this year. They're going to be better than last year, but I still think they're the worst team in the AFC North. So I'm going to have them going 6-10. You know, hopefully they can win both games against the Browns so we can rub it in Anisha's face. But, you know, that's going to happen. And they're going to go 6-10. So they'll still have a pretty good draft pick next year. And I think that you'll see this team in the future start to excel. So thank you, Jared, for coming on. It was great to have you. This is one in a long line of bringing.
Check his links down below.
And yeah,
follow him. Please, sure. Please do.
Follow
please
his do. Instagram. It's going to be down in the description. Make sure also to subscribe so you can see when we have future videos. Thanks so much, Jared, for coming on. We'll see you.
Thanks for having me, fellas. Appreciate it.
Of course.